Welcome to our communion
service.
Good morning and welcome to our communion service.
Good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 34. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my body. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Verse 34, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest we come together for judgment. And the rest of I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. You could please repeat after me. Most merciful God. We confess that we have sinned against you. In thought,
word,
and deed.
By what we have done.
And by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry.
We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. That we may delight in your will. And walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. I am going to move into the communion prayer, so if you can get your hearts and minds settled and prepared, we'll go to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. As we partake of these hallowed symbols at this holy communion table, we humbly take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it in remembrance of you for your own dear body was broken for us. May we continue to feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks from this day forward, and may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus and live a life that is honoring to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and become a ransom for many. We share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for this holy sacrament, and may I never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again in great glory and majesty. We praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor. At this time, we're going to ask that you and your family, those in your home, if you would prepare yourself for the sacrament, whatever you may have for juice, like grape juice, great. If not, if you're substituting with apple juice or something else, we ask that you prepare that now. The bread, we're using crackers, so we ask that you prepare that now. We're going to start out with the bread. According to the scriptures, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, break it, gave to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Eat ye all of it." After the same manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving. And he told his disciples that this is my blood of the New Testament. It is the agreement between now you and God. Through my shed blood, you have the remission of your sins. He gave to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of it." Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for the privilege that has been given to us, that through this simple act of obedience, we might show our fellowship and partnership with Christ, both in his dying, in his burial, and in his resurrection. We thank you for the great price you have paid for our sins, that through your shed blood, our sins are forgiven, and we have received your righteousness, whereby we may stand before the Father fully justified. So we thank you once again. We pray that you would consecrate our heart and that you would strengthen our bodies and your resolve to our minds, that we might live for you today and every day until you come again. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen.
God bless you, church. Thank you for participating in our communion service. And with that, we are going to go to the Word of God, our sermon for today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn. Actually, we've got a couple of scriptures we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to start in the book of Mark, and we're going to go to the book of Acts, and then also to the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, just going to ask that you would turn there with us, Mark 14 and 12, Acts 1 and 12, then we're going to jump over to Acts 2 and 1, and then close with Revelation 19 and 7.
Amen.
Let me start by wishing everyone a happy 4th of July. I hope you and your family had a great time celebrating the holidays. I do want to start, I do want to inform you of some unfortunate news. On Friday, Kevin Williams passed away and has gone home to be in the presence of Christ. Kevin Williams was the son of Sister Chris Williams, one of the early members of our church. He's also the brother to Paul and Michael Williams. And so I just ask that you would pray for the family, keep the Williams family, Paul, Barbara, Michael, keep them in prayer, keep his mother in prayer. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult situation to lose anyone, and also made more difficult by the times in which we live. So keep them in prayer and pray that God would strengthen them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so if you have those passages, I'm going to start first with Mark 14 and 12. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, so I ask that you would follow along in whatever version you might have. If you're there, you will see these words. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of that house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat Passover with my disciples?' And then he will show you a large room, furnished and prepared, and there make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now just flip over a couple books to the book of Acts, the very first chapter. Again, starting at verse 12, just going to read a couple verses there. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day's journey. When they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Philip, Andrew, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. Also there was James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Now we're going to just go one chapter over, Acts. The second chapter, beginning at verse 1, just going to read a few verses there. Very familiar passage, the day of Pentecost. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And that one place is that upper room we just talked about. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave utterance." Now last and finally, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, just going to read verses 7 through 10. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 10. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. And then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" So we're going to use those scriptures as the background for our message this Sunday. And what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about being in the room where it happened.
Amen.
Being in the room where it happens. God, our Father, give us grace to declare your truth. I ask that you would purify my heart and my mind, and that your words would be uttered out of my mouth. Pray that your word would go forth as a sure arrow and find a resting place in the heart and in the lives of your people. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Hamilton is an American musical. It is filled with music and lyrics, and also has a book that has been written and produced by Lin-Manuel Miranda. It tells the story of an American founding father, Alexander Hamilton. And it was inspired by the 2004 biography of Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. The show's music draws heavily from hip-hop, as well as R&B, pop, soul, and traditional style show tunes. The show also casts non-white actors as the founding fathers and other historical figures. Owing to this use of modern storytelling methods, Hamilton has been described as about American then as told by America now. From its opening, Hamilton has received critical acclaim. The show premiered at the Public Theater off Broadway on February 17th, in 2015, where its engagement was sold out consistently. It won 8 Drama Desk Awards, including Outstanding Musical. And then it transferred to the historic Richard Rogers Theater on Broadway, opening on August 6th of 2015, where it received uniformly positive reviews and strikingly high box office sales. At the 2016 Tony Awards, Hamilton received a record-setting 16 nominations, eventually winning 11 awards, including Best Musical. It also received the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. And I encourage you, if you haven't already, if you do have the Disney app, as I'm sure you're well aware, this play has been turned into a movie and is now streaming on Disney. My wife and I and our boys, we watched it on Friday night, and it was well worth it. We had an opportunity to see the show live in Chicago, but it was not with the original cast. And so to have the opportunity to see it as it was presented on Broadway with the original cast members was absolutely fantastic. So I encourage you, if you haven't, it's well worth the time to watch it. I enjoy it, as my boys would tell you, because my favorite show from the musical is entitled The Room Where It Happened.
Yes.
It is led by Leslie Odom Jr., and it's from Act 2 and relates the story of the Compromise of 1790. Adam Burr and then Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, discussed the legacy of the recently deceased General Mercer. In addition, they are pondering what their own legacies will be. And Hamilton's attempt to gain approval from Congress for his newly proposed financial system. Their discussion is interrupted as Hamilton is hurriedly ushered to a secret dinner table meeting at which he, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison agree upon an unprecedented political compromise. The capital city of their new nation will be situated on the Potomac River, which is politically and geographically placing it in the South, close to where both Jefferson and Madison live. In exchange for this, the Democratic-Republican Party will support Hamilton's new financial plan. Burr ponders Jefferson's report of the meeting and enviously comments on how the American people, more importantly, himself, had no agency in this decision. He decides to rectify this by running himself for political office to be metaphorically in the room when it happens. So I would like to begin today's sermon by discussing the Lord's Supper and what it must have been like to be in the room when it happened. Can you imagine being in the room for the Last Supper? Can you imagine hearing Jesus announce that one of his 12 disciples would betray him? What a way to start the Passover meal. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in that room and to watch Jesus himself? You have watched me over streaming and over the internet, YouTube and Facebook. But imagine being in the room with Christ himself and to see him take the bread in his own hands and to break it and to bless it and to distribute freely to his disciples. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in a room where, according to Mark 14:26, the Bible says, before going out to the Mount of Olives, they sung a hymn. Imagine being in a room and hearing Jesus sing. These last few months have been difficult. We're streaming and we're coming over Facebook and YouTube, but we haven't incorporated music. We haven't incorporated any singing. We're not in our normal place of worship. But imagine being in the room and hearing Jesus lead praise and worship. Can you imagine being in the room as the Passover meal is progressing? And according to John 13:4, it says, rising from supper, Jesus took a towel and girded himself. Can you imagine being in the room when Jesus stood up and began to wash the disciples' feet? No doubt all of the attendants, all of the disciples saw the bowl, saw the water, and saw the towel, and every one of them probably assumed, I wonder who's going to be washing feet today. It won't be me. You got to remember, these were the same guys who came to Jesus asking who among them would be the greatest. And so I'm sure none of them imagined themselves taking the position of washing another disciple's feet. But can you imagine the surprise on their face when they didn't stand, but Christ stood? Can you imagine what it must have been like in the room as Jesus stood there girding his waist with that towel? Can you imagine the look on the disciples' face when Jesus began to bend themselves down and began to wash the disciples' feet?
Yes.
And all of this happened in the room where they were having Passover.
Yes.
Can you imagine being in the room where all of this is taking place? Next, I would like to discuss the upper room where, according to theologians, 120 of Jesus' disciples, men and women, were gathered waiting for the promise from the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. And what it must have been like to be in the room when it happened. Can you imagine what it must have been like to watch Jesus ascend into heaven according to Acts 1:9? Can you imagine what it must have been like to experience the joy that must have filled the disciples and the women as they returned to Jerusalem and headed to the upper room? Not many days, 40 days prior, they were witnesses to Christ being crucified, and now they are witnesses to not only his resurrection, but now his ascension into heaven. Oh, what joy must have filled their hearts. Can you imagine being in a room with Peter and James and John and Matthew? Can you imagine being in the room with once doubting Thomas, who now doubts no longer? Can you imagine what it must have been like to now hear the disciples pray? Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in the room and not only hear the men pray, but now hear the women pray? And not just the women, but specifically Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine what it must have
felt like to be inside that room. And according to Acts 2 and 2, can you imagine what it must have been like to experience the sudden coming of the Holy Ghost? You're there and the prayer is going and praise is going and worship is taking place. But the Bible says suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as unto a mighty rushing wind. And it was then that the Spirit of the Lord, first it filled the place, and then it filled all the people gathered in that place. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to witness everyone in the room being filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in the room and hear everyone speaking in tongues? Can you imagine what it must have been like in the room where it happened?
Yes.
I wasn't in the room for the Lord's Supper. I wasn't in the room for the coming of the Holy Ghost. But I can only imagine that according to Scripture, I can only imagine according to what the canon has provided us, what it must have been like to be in that room.
In the room. My God. Yes.
And so finally, I want to conclude this message by saying, can you imagine what it will be like to be in the room for the upcoming wedding feast? What it will be like to be in the room where the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place? Can you imagine what it will be like to be in that room? John's vision recorded in Revelation pictures the wedding feast of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, and his bride, which is the church. Revelation 19 describes the day where we will become just like Jesus. On that day, we will wear the most beautiful wedding gown, made up of the righteous deeds of the saints of God. As glorified Christians, the people of God will finally fulfill the purpose for which we have been created, which is a complete and unbroken fellowship with God our Father.
Yes. Yes.
The joy we will experience on that day is beyond description and imagination, as we will see Christ face to face. Every born-again Christian will experience this day because they will have been declared righteous by the Lord himself. Also attending the wedding feast will not only be the church as the bride of Christ, but the Old Testament saints will also be in this heavenly room. As the angel told John to write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be a glorious celebration of all who are in Christ. And all I just want to say by closing, in my closing, is that I just want to be in the room where it happens. That's all. I don't need to be there as a pastor. I don't need to be there as a bishop. I just want to be in the room where it happens. Can you imagine being in that room? Ask your neighbor, say, can you imagine that room? According to Revelation 19 and 1, happening in that room, John hears a great voice of many people in heaven singing, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power be unto the Lord our God. Can you imagine being in the room where, according to Revelation 19 and 4, the 24 elders and the four beasts fall down and begin worshiping God by crying hallelujah,
hallelujah
and amen? Can you imagine being in the room according to Revelation 19 and 5 where John says, I hear a voice coming out of the throne of God itself saying, praise our God, all ye servants and all ye that fear him, both small and great. All of this is happening in the room. Revelation 19 and 6 says John hears another voice. And that is a voice of a great multitude and of many waters and of mighty thundering, saying hallelujah to the Lord our God. He is omnipotent and he reigneth forever. Touch your neighbor and say, are you in the room today?
Are you in the room?
Can you imagine being in the room with God himself? Can you imagine what it will be like to be in the room with the Lamb that has been slain from the foundation of the world? Can you imagine what it will be like in that room when it is filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine what it will be like to see the 24 elders? Can you imagine what it will be like to behold the four beasts of God as they worship the Lord omnipotent? I don't know about you, but I just want to be in the room where it happens. Can you imagine what it will be like in the room filled with all of the Old Testament saints? What it will be like to see Brother Abel, who by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. Can you imagine what it will be like to be in the room with Noah, who being warned of God, moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his household? Can you imagine what the room will be like to be with Brother Abraham, who by faith looked for a city whose builder and maker was God? Can you imagine what it will be like to see Sister Sarah, who by faith received strength to conceive a son when she was past age? I don't know about you, but I just want to be in the room where it happens. Touch your neighbor. Say, will you be in the room where it happens? Will you be there? Will I be there? I want to be in the room. I want to be in the room when it happens.
In the room. Hallelujah. Yes.
Tell me. Can you imagine being in the room to hear Dr. Taylor, who through obedience founded our church over 70 years ago? Can you imagine, help me tell you, what it would be like to be in a room and to hear Elder Celeste Williams pray one more time?
Yes.
Can you imagine, Taylor? Come on, help me in my internet church.
Yes.
Can you imagine what it will be like to be in the room and to see the matriarch one more time? Can you imagine what it will be like to be in the room with all the saints of God? Can you imagine what it will be like to just be in the room? Somebody say yes. I don't know about you, but I just want to be in the room where it happens.
Yes.
I'm like David. I'll come in as a doorkeeper. I don't need a place of prominence. I don't need a seat of significance. I'll be a fly on the wall. I'll be the greeter standing outside the pearly gates. I just want to be in the room where it happens. I want to be in the room where God is. I want to be in the room where the Lamb of God is. I want to be in the room where the saints of God are gathered for all eternity. I want to be in the room. Adam Burr wanted to be in the room when politics, major government decisions were being decided, brokered and negotiated. But I have a higher calling.
Yeah.
And I just want to be in the room where to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Enter now into the joy of the Lord. And so I'm living today. And that's why I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And that's why I challenge myself to live according to the Word of God.
Right.
Why? Because I just want to be in the room with it.
Yeah.
I'll live for Him.
Yeah.
I'll die for Him.
Yeah.
I'll serve Him the rest of the days of my life.
Yeah.
Why? Because I simply want to be in the room where it happened.
Yeah,
I couldn't be there for the Lord's Supper. I couldn't be there. I couldn't be in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came. God did not choose me for those times and those eras. But He has chosen me for such a time as this. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The day you hear my voice, that's my invitation to you to be
in the room.
Don't you turn a deaf ear to the voice of the Lord. Don't you resist the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's God inviting you into the room. So why won't you accept Christ today? Why won't you make the Lamb of God your personal Savior? It's the only way to make it into the room.
Yes. Yes.
You're out there today.
Woo.
You're on YouTube. You're streaming in over Facebook. Give your life to Christ and join Him in the room where the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. That's my message to you today, church. So even if you don't get the Disney app, even if you're unable to stream the movie Hamilton, today, right here, right now, you can accept Jesus Christ. All you have to do is bow your head and tell God, Father in heaven, I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness of my sins. And by faith today, I believe in your Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God. I believe in Him by faith. And I receive His word by faith into my heart and into my life. And I just pray, Father, wash me now. Wash me with that shed blood that was spilled on Calvary cross. Allow me to partake of your bruised body that I might be forgiven of my sins, that I might be welcomed into the room where it will happen. God bless you, Taylor. God bless you to our listening audience. Pray that you enjoy the rest of your 4th of July holiday. And I also pray that you will accept this message into your heart. You want to be invited. You want to be included.
Yeah.
He says, make your calling and your election sure. Don't leave this broadcast doubting, uncertain, not sure if you will or will not make it. Decide today. Decide to make Christ your Savior. And if you do, you will be in the room when it happens. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning again, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. We are going to move right after that powerful communion service message. We're going to move right into offering.
At Taylor Tabernacle, you can provide your offering in one of three ways. You can do it using our website at www.taylortabernacle.com. You can do it via text, or you can do it via U.S. Postal Service. To give by text message or our website at www.taylortabernacle.com/giving, you can follow the instructions that you now see on the screen. By text, you would text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256. You'll receive a text back with instructions. Again, to give via the website, it's similar to text, you just go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and you follow the instructions under the Giving tab. To give by U.S. Postal Service, all you need to do is make out your preference, check or money order, and send it to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And as always, we thank you for the support of our ministry. I am now going to move into announcements. I am going to ask that you pay close attention because there are this morning several announcements. Most important is that the pastor and leadership team would like to announce that they have begun planning for a mid-September reopening date for our church. The exact date, thank you, the exact date will be announced as we get closer to that mid-September time frame. Please begin to pray for our safe and successful reopening. Amen. It is that time of year. The Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund is now accepting applications. YLE members only, grades 1 through 12. This is where we recognize YLE members, YLE members who have excelled as well as those who have improved during the academic year, and that is the 2019-2020 academic year. We understand that due to the coronavirus outbreak during the last semester, our evaluation process has been adjusted for all students. Therefore, no essays, no recommendation letters are required as they have been in the past. All applicants, however, will have to fill out an application. Those applications should be available online under the Young Life Experience or the YLE tab, and you can download that application, complete it, and make sure that you email it, completed application email back to info@taylortabernacle.com. And again, that's on the screen right now if you need to write it down. They need to be returned to info@taylortabernacle.com. Not only must the application be completed, but remember to send a scanned version of your final report card as well. The pastor is asking that all students apply. And I believe the deadline for that is the 8th of July. So that is coming up soon. I believe that is Wednesday. That's Wednesday, July 8th. So for those of you who are going on vacation or taking a mini vacation, as I am, Anani, my sister and I are taking our two youngest, Catherine and I, our two youngest boys to the beach. We won't be in a position to be able to access the site and send the information in, so we'll have to do that probably later today. If you have to do it early, make sure you do it early, but just do it. Amen. We have some other dates as well. July 10th is going to be our Friday night PBS via the church conference line. We are going to be focusing this upcoming Friday the 10th on the book of 2 John. On
July 12th, Sunday service is going to be hosted by Reverend John Puritan and his family. Yay! On July 17th, Friday night, PBS via the church conference line is going to be held again. That will be taught by Deacon Todd McCoy, and focus will be the book of 3 John. On July 19th, Sunday service is going to be hosted by Reverend Dr. Augustus Curry, who is pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Peachtree City, Georgia. Please be sure to tune in and join us for that special treat. On July 24th, we're going to have a virtual Joy Night service. That will be hosted by our Young Life Experience and the Young Adult Ministry via Zoom. That is going to be at 7:30 p.m. More details will follow, but please be certain to tune in for that special virtual event. On July 26th, we will have our Back to School Sunday service hosted by Brother Jordan Ford. Yes, my oldest son. I had to, you know, give him a little shout out. Brother Jordan Ford will be heading up that service. We, his family, will be supporting him in that endeavor. But that's our Back to School service, July 26th. July 31st. Will be Friday night PBS. Again, that will be via the church conference line. That is going to be taught again by Deacon Todd, and we will be focusing on the book of Jude. The church conference line for information is 775-799-9141. As we continue our series on the one chapter book in the Bible, please keep note of that number. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you can remain informed and updated and aware of all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly email, please send us your new email address and we will be certain to add you to the list. And with that, I'm going to ask Pastor to come back up and provide us with the benediction.
Okay, thank you. All of you guys can come back up.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm glad to have my sister-in-law here, Anani, from down from New York.
Yay.
She had a tough act to follow. And her father from Father's Day set the bar very high, but Anani did a great job. A couple of things I just want to say in closing is to one, remember to begin praying now for our safe and successful reopening coming up in September. I also want to let you know that our reopening steering committee, if you will, it's made up of Cassandra McCoy, Shanita Scott, and Vakia Price. And I am indebted to those ladies for taking on the burden of kind of marshaling our resources, putting together a project plan, going down the to-do list of the almost countless things we must do in order to be able and prepare to worship come September. So I want to give my gratitude to them, but also to let you know if you have any questions, comments or concern, they are your point people. Feel free to reach out to them, and they will keep you apprised of what's going on in terms of our reopening. Also, just want to remind you, let's continue to pray for those that are hurting within our congregation, those who have suffered loss, those who have been affected by the coronavirus, those who have just fallen ill, not related to the virus. Just let's keep prayer on board. Let's keep love on board as we continue to move forward. And then lastly, I just want to thank all of you for your continued financial support of the ministry. We greatly appreciate it. So with that, and all minds closed, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen.
We'll see you next Sunday.